Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. It is August 15th. We are already halfway through the month. We are less. We're like 4 weeks away from the start of the NFL season. Less. We're really close. Either way, I didn't do the math before we hopped on here. But nonetheless, the Lions win the first preseason game, much to Woo-hoo. UJ's chagrin. But the Lions win 21-16 in a thriller for preseason, at least. Maurice Alexander, 94-yard punt return touchdown. And the place was electric. A sellout in Ford Field for a preseason game. Pretty wild. The Giants had to go to a silent snap count. We're going to get all of that in a moment. But before we do, we got the Blue Kool-Aid here to break everything down. And this episode will be going with the risers and the fallers and some of the other implications from the first preseason game. But I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the crew that's here. We got UJ.
Hello, everybody.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Connor.
What up, Lions fans?
All right, gentlemen. So, as I mentioned, the Lions, 21-16. UJ. I mentioned you were not happy with the Lions winning. No. You explained it last time on the podcast, but
it's really simple. It's really simple.
You're not drinking a blue Kool-Aid, I see. So
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Right, you hate the Lions? Suspicious.
You know, all of us as sports fans have some superstitions, and I'm sorry. In 2008, we won every preseason game. We were the preseason champs, baby, 4-0. And what happened after that? We lost every regular season game. So since that day, since that year, I have been always rooting for them to lose at least one preseason game, at least one. So that's,
you know, the Ravens have won 24 straight preseason games, and they seem to be doing just fine as an organization.
UJ,
how many Super Bowls have they won in that time?
One.
Oh, darn. That's
UJ,
one.
You gotta let go of the past. This team is different.
I know. I know.
That don't matter no more.
It's one of them things. Can I tell you?
Let go of the past. Kill it if you have to.
I mean, what do you guys think of the this, before we get into all the game itself? Just the crowd there was
awesome
for a preseason game.
Isn't that amazing, though? I saw several other preseason games on the NFL Network. You know, throughout the day, I was catching a little bit here, a little bit there, and none of the crowds were anything like that. They were all over the half full stadiums everywhere. If they were even half full. You know, even some of the better teams, and the Lions sell it out. Unbelievable. There's excitement.
Bob and I used to go to at least one preseason game like 8 or 9 years ago, you know, like when I was in high school. And it was always like a library in there. And like there are just pockets of people around. But what I saw last weekend looked totally different. You could have thought that was the season opener, and I would have maybe believed you. It's crazy.
Seriously.
Absolutely. And they sold they sold out. I forgot to mention this in the last episode, I think, but selling out all the season tickets for the first time in their history.
I didn't realize that was the first time, but that's crazy.
That just shows how much enthusiasm is pent up for this team and all the positive vibes and all the Kool-Aid that's being drinking out there.
Hey, so here's the question. Which big name celebrities are going to start putting their face out there, buying the front row seats and wanting to be seen on Lions games? Who are we going to see out there besides the usual Detroiter people, Kid Rock, and
Dua Lipa's going to be there.
Tim Allen's been there.
Tim Allen. We're going to see any other like Hollywood people, like someone coming out and you know wanting to be a part of this.
Billy
thing.
D. Williams,
Nicholson will switch from the From the Lakers to the Lions or something. I don't know.
Who's the guy that's always with The Rock in every movie?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart always attaches himself to whatever team has just won the Super Bowl. So he'll be a Lions fan soon enough.
Oh, yeah. We'll get a phone book for him when he sits down there in the front row.
So he can see the field.
See over the, you know.
So let's get into the game itself. The Lions win 21-16. I want to go over the risers and the fallers in this game. The players, and you can include coaches if you want, but really the players that did themselves a favor or are just rising up your favorite board. You can take it however you want, and then fallers later. Yeah.
Side note, I was a riser and a faller today. I rose out of bed, and then I fell, and I was a faller.
I'll make sure to put you in my fall. But then I got up again.
So I don't know.
Was that bed and fall in one motion?
I rose, then fell. All this. Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like you say rise and grind every morning.
Tough day for me. So anyway, go carry on.
You're the epitome of these categories.
Carry on.
We will. We admire your bravery coming on to the episode tonight, UJ.
Gotta get back up, you know. That's what it's all about.
That's grit right there.
Well, nonetheless, I want to go over this first guy that I believe is a riser, and he did it with one play. Really, honestly, I mean, he showed up in others, but he had the highlight of the game, in my opinion. Besides the Alexander one, but it's Brian Branch.
Yes, Cole Beasley lineup.
Yes.
Oh,
that was a great play.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So I want to show this over to Rud Dog first. What do you like out of Brian Branch here?
I like when he nearly killed that guy.
what did you see out of him that maybe you know, other teams, like, how did this guy fall to us in the second
half? I know. I was like, when he nearly killed that guy, I was like, that was probably the best part that made me think that.
You know, hey, Rud Dog, me and you have talked many times about, you know, comparing him to Troy Polamalu. Is that not a fair comparison? His reaction time?
I don't know about the hair.
Not the hair part.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying
the instincts.
Wait,
just
what?
It just reminded me, Polamalu. We were talking.
Oh, Polamalu.
We made that comparison because we all used to marvel at his reaction time, and he can fly across the field and make a play. Branch. I mean, he flew all the way across the field to make that play. It was astounding. It was beautiful to see.
His reaction time is so quick. Feel like he's a veteran out there. Like he's been in the league for a few years, which is crazy. Yeah. I don't know how he fell to us, but. And it's going to be solid.
Yeah, he looks so ridiculous. Like, I mean, it has everyone thinking pretty much Tracy Walker has just fallen off the starting, I feel like, because you're going to put this frees up CJ GJ to go back to safety.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kirby Joseph is probably going to be the other one. So, I think, honestly, the plan was for CJ GJ to be our slot corner kind of guy. And then. But now with this development, I don't see how you keep Branch off the field.
I think that's okay too, because Walker's coming back from a major injury, so I think at the very least it gives him time to work back into that role too.
He could be a good depth piece.
Yeah, yeah. Some people question his roster spot, but I don't want to go that far. I think he's
the roster. But
have you guys seen any bad about him? I haven't really read much about him, honestly.
Really. Walker?
Yeah.
I've heard a couple of good blurbs, I feel like, but nothing. I haven't heard a lot of anything other than he's just kind of been out there.
Right.
I haven't heard much of Kirby either. For that matter.
Yeah. But man, Brian Branch is, I mean, on ESPN today, Bill Barnwell, the lead NFL writer on there, like went over each team's deficiency that is a Super Bowl contender. So first of all, they had the Lions as a Super Bowl contender. He listed 14 teams. The Lions are one of the 14, and then he listed the secondary as the biggest weakness coming into the season, which I don't know if I agree with that, because I think it might be one of our strengths, but just the way we've completely overhauled it.
Have you guys ever seen a unit from one year to the next with the Lions like so vastly overhauled? I've been trying to think about this, but that secondary from last year to this year is insane. The difference one off.
I see it's overhauled in a bad way, like in terms of the white.
Let's say good way only.
you mean getting rid of Sean Rogers to sit Lee Bowden?
you could say the Matt Millen years or Matt Patricia years forever.
True.
But in a good way. It's
no, yes, we've seen it overall negatively plenty of times in a bad way.
But like at the same time, yeah. I'm not sure which one was bigger overhaul, the linebacker room or they did more active changes to the safety room or secondary room. But
secondary.
The linebackers are also looking in like a tremendously improved spot from last year.
Are you guys still in on Derek Barnes?
From everything I've heard, I haven't seen a lot yet from him this camp, but
no, I've heard he's had a really solid camp. He started
He's been wearing the green dot more. He was out in this game, the first linebacker out there with the green dot.
I'll tell you who look good together though is Campbell and Rodriguez.
Hold on, we're getting there.
We're
getting there.
Sorry,
but I did want to, since we're on the Brian Branch aspect and the safeties, that might be pushed out. I don't have the riser or faller here, but I guess I'm technically falling because at least a lot of the predictions out there for like the 53-man roster is Ify Melifonwu. We haven't heard much about him in the camp, at least but the way this roster is shaking out, it looks like he is more likely than not going to be sticking around, so disappointing.
If he's looking iffy.
Yeah. That was an easy one for you, Jay.
Low hanging fruit.
Man. Will Harris hasn't looked exactly great, not in the preseason game anyway.
Yeah, but we'll get to him too.
Yeah.
We'll
I was saying imagining he would be on our faller list later.
They kind of go right next to each other though. They're kind of in line for a similar like roster spot, I feel.
We'll talk to him. We'll talk about him then.
Let me get to the next guy. We'll stay on the defensive side. We'll stick with defense, we'll move to offense. But
we're still on risers, right?
Yeah, this is another riser. Uh-oh. And I have John Kaminsky on this list. He was an absolute monster in this game, but that is unsurprising because it's a lot of what we saw out of him last year.
Yeah.
You can plug this guy anywhere on the D-line, honestly. He's going to perform.
Absolutely.
Stud.
If you look at that play that Branch made, it was basically set up by Kowalski. So it was
he knocked Beasley off the route. Which was,
he did. He really set it up. It was a great defensive play all around.
Yeah, he's a beast. I don't know if I would consider him a riser because I feel like you said, not unexpected. Like that was like what you expect out of him, especially against backups and stuff. That dude's a stud. We knew that last year. So I don't think there was really any questions. And if there were, he showed that they were unnecessary.
The NFL is talking about making him wrap up that one hand again to make it even for the rest of the league. You know, he's got two hands this year.
Yeah,
But man, I just love Kaminsky is a lot of fun. I'm so glad the Lions were bad the previous year because they there was, I think, 8 teams, possibly 10, all put in a waiver claim for him when he was released
from
the Falcons, and the Lions just were at the top of that list because they were so bad the previous year that they got him, and it's been a blessing because he's been nothing but a terrific locker room guy. This is a guy that's just like a true Dan Campbell guy. Like he's going to be hustling the ball 110% of the time, takes on double teams, move him on the edge, move him to three. He could play all over. And the Lions have him on a pretty good deal for what he does for this defense. So are you going to buy a jersey, UJ, but put Kowalski on the back and have everybody be like, who the hell, what is going on here?
And I'll say, you know who it is. The big Polak guy, Kowalski. Come on!
I want to.
Not an insult. This is a compliment. So
fair enough.
Just want you to know that I'm not insulting the man in any way. I'm purely complimenting him. He's a beast. He's awesome.
He's a beast.
Well, I want to go over another guy that obviously stuck out like sore thumb because he had the big play of the game. Maurice Alexander, 95-yard. Touchdown return for a punt.
It was nice.
And it's so funny because the headline was that Khalif Raymond, our all pro punt returner, got the extension, even though he's much more than a punt returner. He's much more valuable than that. That's not why he was signed for his punt returning skills, in my opinion. Right. But it's just funny how that was the headline. Maurice Alexander is someone that's definitely if he doesn't get picked up on a 53-man roster, that's going to be a tough cut because someone else is going to pick him up immediately. Oh, yeah. Do you guys think he makes a touchdown roster, having said that?
Scoring touchdowns helps. It's hard to say with the way this team's built. There's just so much.
Wait, are you talking about Alexander or Khalif Raymond?
Maurice Alexander.
Khalif Raymond does a lot. I don't know. Yeah.
And they just signed him to 2 more years. So,
but I wanted your opinion on Maurice Alexander. He's a riser, but is he going to rise enough to make the roster? Because you got Monra, Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond, Marvin Jones, and then you got Dylan Drummond, Antoine Green, Denzel Mims, and then there's Maurice Alexander.
I feel like I haven't heard much about
him. You forgot Chase Kota, too.
Chase Cota, I guess you could throw in there. He seems like a practice squad guy, if anything. But
I mean, I agree, but I mean, so does Maurice Alexander.
I mean, it's a great punt return and all that, but I think he's still on the
bubble. I think he's still on the outside.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just it's tough.
Yeah.
I think this is the first year where we're going to be looking at good players and being like, damn, I can't believe we had to cut him.
Right.
Like, a decade at least, I feel like. This is the first time we've had this problem. So this is going to be a first for our pod. So we got to right the ship and stay true amongst the storm when they cut these good players, because it's going to be tough.
I'm going to freak out.
Coming in hard with the metaphor. I like it.
Yeah.
The blue Kool-Aid sales will guide us to shore.
All right. Yeah. Excellent.
Man, that was some bullshit. I'm sorry, guys.
But no, I mean, did any of those guys in this game stick out? I thought Drummond kind of showed a little bit. He had a nice back shoulder catch.
Chase Kota stuck out like a sore thumb.
Do you think? But you don't think Kota makes a roster, right?
I think him and Drummond are like prime practice squad guys, because I just think they're both really good. Like they're replacing TK, you know, like, but like I think Coda's got some things that TK never had. He's big and he's not slow either. Like, he's got some tools. Drummond is young and showing so much promise already. But no, I mean, we just got too much talent ahead of him. Though, like, here's the one. UJ asked this, and like, I feel like he's been kind of like given a roster spot, but I don't see Mims as a guarantee to make this team. Like, I've not seen anything from him.
No,
so like,
Friday
I don't
Detroit
know.
Hasn't been cut.
Like, one of those guys, like Alexander, Kota, Drummond, if they just keep balling out, they might make a bid for that last spot, you know, if Mims can't get it together and show us something.
I mean,
if
Mims is a total flyer after the JMO suspension, but, like, if we don't keep him, we get that draft pick back. So it felt like a really low-risk move. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if he didn't make the roster. I don't think they're like depending on him.
I just feel like people got so excited when we made the move, like that he was kind of seen as like,
I liked him a lot coming out.
I like,
well, yeah,
I see why, but I feel like it's caused people to kind of not question his spot on the roster as much. But like, really, if you look at it, there's guys who are putting out numbers right now in camp and in these preseason that look better than him. So if he's got to show us something,
did he play in his first preseason game?
I think he was injured.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, that's not good either.
He wasn't targeted, so. Yeah.
So, I mean.
We'll have a better backup quarterback next week, probably, starting. So, I can see some other stuff.
Well, let's go over those first round picks in early second rounds. And we got our first look at Jahmyr Gibbs in this game. What?
All aboard the Jahmyr Gibbs train.
No, so UJ, you're still on the train, huh? After the first one, what you saw?
Hell yeah! Like everything about the kid.
Well, tell me, what you saw in this game from him? That
I didn't see a whole lot, but it doesn't matter.
I like it, nothing matters.
I saw enough.
He had a good 18-yard catch.
He should have had like a huge play, but Sudfeld didn't see him till like way later after scrambling.
Oh.
He was
over Sudfeld in
like that. His biggest play, that pass reception, he did show a nice presence to scramble with the quarterback and make a easier pass for Sudfeld, because he was just sitting wide open in the middle of the field for like 10 seconds while Sudfeld scrambled and eventually found him. But he led him right into like four dudes instead of, you know, away where there was nobody. Yeah. But it's all right. It looked good on his part because he showed that presence. So I think he showed some veteran things in the way he carried himself. Like, he knew he wasn't used a lot, so whoop-de-doo. Uh-huh. And with, you know, not all the starters. So he showed enough to be like, no reason to slow down that train.
I want to see him with like, I want to see him on one drive with the starting O-line. like with maybe the last preseason game and see what he can do. It is kind of hard to gauge, like with who we had at quarterback and who we had on the O-line.
Gibbs. He can just stay healthy till week one.
I agree.
We know what he can do.
What's his position?
I wouldn't
anyway?
Be surprised if he doesn't touch the ball again.
OW is his position, offensive weapon.
Yeah.
Athlete, ATH.
He does it all.
No weapon.
I heard they could put him in a new position. If he had to.
Yeah.
That's how good he is.
Well, you know, in college, when they, like, sometimes recruits don't come in with a position, they're just labeled ATH athlete.
Right.
That's Gibbs. Well, another guy that we can talk about.
Yeah.
Jack Campbell.
Ooh, stud. Jack.
Great first appearance. He was the highest rated defensive rookie per PFF in the preseason. PFF does preseason rankings. That's right.
Oh, boy.
But nonetheless, I mean, he was all over the field when he was on the field. And it's everything you could hope for from him.
My favorite play was when he
started day one.
When he just runs up and bench presses the guard off his chest and makes the stop for 1 yard. Like, that was just so sick. This awesome dude. Play. Like, I don't know if you guys know saw the one of the one I'm talking about, but like he's the left or the right guard comes up to try to block him. He just attacks the guard, gets his hands in his chest, presses him off, and is able to just go over and make the tackle in the other A gap. Like not many linebackers can do quite that. Like not when because most of them aren't nearly as big. There was like the other one where he like stuffed the run and he just like pushed like three people into the backfield first. He's a monster. And he's fast. Yeah. It's like, oh, this.
He looked good in pass coverage too on a couple plays.
He's setting the new prototype. Mark my words. This is what people are going to be looking for years to come.
Yeah, this is where absolutely. The Derek Barnes fans might be a little, I don't know, disappointed maybe because Barnes apparently by all measures is playing much better. But I don't know if you can keep Campbell off the field.
You can't be mad about Campbell balling out.
I just can't.
Yeah,
I'm still a Derek Barnes cheerleader, but. Jack Campbell's going to be incredible. And he's gonna
The biggest problem for Barnes and for like Rodrigo is that we don't necessarily always run three linebackers. We're more like a two linebacker set team. So it's like, I still think the starting two is going to be Jack Campbell and Anzalone and Rodrigo and Barnes are going to get plenty of run in all kinds of different formations. I think they're going to have plays designed for them because of their unique skill sets. But like, those two are your guys. I think they're just bigger. They're both taller. They're fast. Like they're more experienced. Well, not more experienced. Anzalone's more experienced, but like Jack's the kind of guy who doesn't necessarily need it. So
who I have making the roster from the linebacker.
Let's hear that.
Anzalone, Campbell, Rodrigo, Barnes, Reeves, Maben, and then Anthony Pittman I have as the fifth linebacker.
Yeah. Are they going to keep that many linebackers?
I'm hoping that Noask beats out Pittman because he had four tackles in that game. But young kid with some serious upside, undrafted, like his physical traits are top-notch, so I would love to see him hang around and develop in the background because, you know, that kind of guy. Pittman's been around. I don't see him being anything other than a special teamer, so I'd rather have someone with upside.
But he's like a really good special teamer. He's not like, like a mediocre one.
So. I get it. I'm hoping Noah can beat him out because he's physically gifted. He can do some of that stuff, so or should be able to. So.
If he can land on the practice squad, I think that'd be the ideal situation.
Yeah, if that's fine too. I think
it's just when you cut the guy, you always risk him signing with another team.
Right.
But he's from Michigan. I think the Lions can convince him to come back to the practice squad. But, you know, maybe the Lions like someone else throughout their options through the entire league.
You think they'd look at those guys sound so much better. That talent depth is so much better than it was this time last year. Maben looked really good in the game, the preseason game, shooting around, making plays. Like, he's a viable player.
Ever since he got a haircut, he's so much quicker. He's less wind resistance, and he just flies around the field, and that's amazing.
Yeah, that's it, UJ. there's just a lot of talent in this linebacker room.
Definitely. And another guy I wanted to mention, early second-round pick, Sam Laporta. The Lions go for it on fourth down. He has it right in his chest, and he dropped it.
Oh,
he's a bust right now.
He's been killing it in training camp, though, so I'm not worried about him.
No, bust.
The one thing that's been playing in training camp to a degree is drops, though.
It's no big deal.
Of course, the first one out, he drops. People were any was anybody thinking Lions tight end curse?
No.
On it? No.
No.
Not really.
No.
Not even you, Jay. You're not even drinking Kool-Aid on this team. You're in for them to lose.
No, what? What are you talking about?
You're rooting for the Lions to lose.
You were.
You're like, yeah, way to drop it. I want to lose this game.
Well, I don't want him to drop it in the way of losing the game. I just wanted to lose the game, not necessarily people drop things. You know, there's other ways of losing the game, you know.
That was the only one.
I don't understand your logic, UJ. But maybe I will one day when I'm older.
I hope you will, yeah, young Jedi. You will learn.
Well, anyways, did you guys have anything else to add about LaPorta?
No, I'm not worried about
solid.
Him.
He's solid. I'm not worried about him at all.
All right. Another guy, a riser, I would call, is James Mitchell. I think he looked pretty good in this game. I think he solidified his spot in this roster for now, at least.
For sure.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be on the roster.
Like, a few nice catches, 3 for 53, and a nice long one for like 20 yards over the right side.
His tools are good, man. I mean, this kid. I mean,
three catches for 53 yards.
Yeah, as far as a catching tight end, yeah, this kid, he's good.
Well, and that speed that he has is nice with, like, clearly, like, Ben Johnson's scheme gets our tight ends open because he didn't make too many contested catches. But, like, those crossing routes and stuff where he can turn upfield and run for, like, 20-plus yards because he covers ground so fast. Like, yeah, I think he's going to be a pain for people this year. But, like, because, like, who else caught one? What's his name? Brock Wright had a nice catch, too, where, like, they love rolling those crossing routes with these tight ends. It seems to be really effective.
They love it. They love it. It's tough to defend. It's tough to defend. If you got the right guys, it's tough to defend.
This offense is going to be so ridiculous this year. Like, not once you get Sudfeld out of there, put Jared Goff back there with our O-line. Oh.
Take it easy, brother. Take it easy.
Okay.
But, yeah, that position group seems pretty solidified on Wright, LaPorta, and Mitchell. I'd be shocked if they went with a fourth tight end of any degree. Daniels and Daniel Helm, who were signed after Zultra got hurt, I don't think are real threats to make the roster unless, you know, they're doing something we're not seeing. But
the fourth spot could be, like, for Kabinda, where, like, he, instead of, like, keep taking an extra running back spot, put an extra tight end, he's, like, a hybrid kind of.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating to see what they do with Kabinda. I don't know what they're going to do.
I have no sense of how they value him.
Well, they obviously value him some way.
Because he's still here.
He did drop a pass, I think, in this game, if I'm not mistaken, though, which doesn't help. But he's still a hell of a blocker when he's healthy.
Well, that's the thing. I imagine you keep a guy like him because you plan on having a fullback lead through the hole, right? Like, because that's where, like, maybe LaPorta or someone else can take that role. But, I mean, they seem to like the idea of a fullback who can be a little more agile and block a little differently than, like, a pulling tackle might. It's a classic position, which I hope they keep around. So I miss I'm sort of, like, sad about the death of the fullback as a position. Corey Schlesinger is still probably my favorite Lion.
Fullback died a decade ago.
That guy was... Great memories of that guy.
Yeah. If awesome. I had to guess, though, if I had to predict, I think Kabinda is on this roster, the 53-man roster.
So, but that he could be that last tight end spot. So,
yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward Uzi, though. I think they're going to keep him.
I agree. Yeah.
Connor, do you think they keep him?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Nice little consensus there from the Blue Kool-Aid crew.
Yes.
All right. I have one more riser. And this is a guy that I don't even know if he'll make the roster. Kind of in the mold of Maurice Alexander, although probably a better shot at making the roster. And that, of course, is Julian Aquara, who had three sacks in this game, albeit against the third-string Giants offensive line. But nonetheless, Julian Aquara.
We can ask.
Yep. I mean, it's better than not getting three sacks.
Right.
It's just always tough to grade. But, I mean, The defense line has a lot of competition for that edge spot. You got Hutch, Charles Harris, Kaminsky, Pascal, Houston, and Aquara, Romeo Aquara. It's just a matter of, do they make room for one more Aquara? Is there enough love and enough room for one more?
Come down to a numbers game, and if it does, Julian, I still think, is on the outside looking in, only because Campbell values consistency, and you know Julian does it in spurts here and there, and that's his problem, I think, more than anything. He's obviously talented, very talented, but it's just doing it all the time, you know, and I think that's his pain.
I agree, UJ, if we're talking like right this moment, but you know, the preseason's still young. There's how many, like two more games left. I think Dan Campbell said it. He said, you know, at the very least, he's earned himself some more reps, some more looks. And that's what he's been hurting with for this preseason, this offseason, like at camp. He's been that last man on the rotation. But guess what? He came out there and did better than the guys ahead of him. Granted, you know, the top dogs weren't out there. Harris sat, Hutch sat. But, you know, Kaminsky was out there looking good. But he looked, I mean, he made more plays than James Houston did, though. James Houston also looked very good. He just didn't get to the quarterback. But honestly, this numbers game goes deeper for the D-line, if you ask me, too, because I thought we might be able to couch one of these dudes in that, like, third or that fourth D-tackle spot. But, like, oh, man, there's going to be such a hard cut because you got Benito Jones getting a sack out there in the game as well. And, like, and he's looking really good. He's looking like a stout force in the run game, and now he's getting sacks. Like, I was writing him off, but, you know, with him and Broderick Martin looking good, probably a lock for this roster, McNeil and Bugs, obvious locks, like, there's going to be a really hard cut somewhere. And I don't know, because also you have Anzarike. Like, Anzarike might have, you know, like, he's starting to finally stay healthy, and he's flashing. He was getting some penetration. I mean, This is a defensive line wide numbers problem, and there's several that are going to be a little painful, I think.
For sure.
Yeah. The Benito Jones versus Amuzurike is still a debate. Both go ways. It's just Amuzurike, he's finally healthy. They invested their time in him. Jones, they've invested a little more money. That's going to be a tough one. But Aquara, do you think Julian Aquara makes a roster, Road Dogg?
If he keeps putting together performances like he did in this game. Like, right now, like I said, I kind of agree with you, Jay. Like, you can't go off of one flashy game because that's been his problem with flashing. He's got to really capitalize on this game, on this performance, and keep showing it in camp and in the next preseason games. Take advantage of the reps he's earned. And if he does that, I don't know how you cut him, but it's going to be so hard to freaking cut. Cause like, who do you cut? Like, I am struggling with it. I can't think.
Yeah, otherwise you cut Pittman and leave Aquara on the roster.
I could cut Pittman, but like, I mean, yeah,
we also assume Houston is a lock too, but is Houston a lock?
Yeah, I've heard some mixed things about him because he still looks awful in the run game by all accounts. So,
do you cut a home run threat like that though? A guy who might come in and just change games though? I mean,
I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
That's the thing. We looked almost stupid for cutting him last year. You know, when he came in and tore things up like he did. Like, I just can't imagine they're gonna cut him. It's not like he looks bad passing rushing. He's still looking very good in that department. And that's really, you can have a guy who's an elite at one thing if he's that good at it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not a run stuffer, but, you know, not everyone needs to be a run stuffer.
Yeah, so a lot of the Lions beat reporters think Aquara and Houston are a tighter match for the end of that roster than people might realize, which I found interesting after this last game.
It's so hard, man. I can't land anywhere solid right now. I think Pascal looks like a lock.
I've also seen options out there that the Lions trade Houston away.
They get a late round pick for him.
I don't know, man. That's still stupid to me.
It would be hard. It would be tough after what he did last year to see him go.
Like, to cut him before the season again? But he is showing the pass rushing chops, though. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I know what you're saying.
I just don't know how you cut a guy like that. Unless somehow, like, the way Julian was rushing the passer did kind of remind me of of him, of Houston. He looked that good. He was flashing. He was speed. He was power. Like, he was real slick and agile and dipped real low. And so maybe there is a competition there, but I don't know, man. After 8 sacks in 8 games, like, I just don't know how you cut that without at least getting to the season and seeing if he still got it. That's hard.
You got an opinion, Z, on that, on Julian?
Julian, I think of right now, he does not make the roster. I don't think so right now. But he's going to have, like you said, consistency. I agree with that. I just think they have enough people in the room there. And I don't see them sticking with him personally. Cuts. I think they've seen enough. They know what they get out of him this time. He's into this past, right, Julian Okorah, in the preseason, like kind of taking over a preseason game. I feel like he's done this in the past. Yeah. But then we never see it in the regular
season. I feel
like
he's never been this consistently healthy yet, has he? I feel like that's always been his part of his flashing problem, is that he'll be banged up and then he'll come back and flash and then he'll be inconsistent and then he'll get banged up again. I don't know. But
I'd rather go with the younger guy.
Well, that's where, like, I know, like, if Charles Harris is really looking as good as they say, then obviously that's not happening. But, like, he's the oldest guy.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
Well, I want to move on now to the next part here. So we went over our risers. I want to go to some of the fallers now. And the first one I want to go over is a guy that we can easily dunk on because I don't think he'll be part of this roster. Is Nate Sudfeld. He looked horrible.
Terrible. He got his. Yeah. He got a punched in the gut when they signed
Teddy.
Bridgewater. Yep, Teddy. And he did not respond well.
Well, he told the Lions fans on the first play of the game, I probably shouldn't belong here. He threw up a floater to the right side. Easy
kinda,
pick.
That kind of hit as he threw, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It was ugly.
Yeah. I'm going to have to bounce, but I want to say one thing about Sudfeld. It does kind of suck because I feel like it's feeding the JMO narrative. And their connection being off was the biggest thing for me. Like, they just could not really connect. They had that one nice grab in the end zone. But, man, Teddy's already doing work with JMO, like after practice, like one-on-one, like running extra routes and stuff. And I feel like that's half the reason they brought him in. Like, he's just such a good locker room guy on top of being, I think, a decently skilled quarterback. But yeah, I don't see Sudfeld having any place in this roster, especially with Hendon Hooker, you know, eventually looming down the line. Like, right. What's the point in rostering the third?
I agree with you, Connor.
I mean, guys.
100%.
All right, Connor. Have a good night.
I'll see you, boys.
Take care. Good seeing you again, Connor.
I agree with Connor. And to build on that, I think I would take Adrian Martinez over Sudfeld after that game because he actually just showed poise. And not even that he looked great throwing the ball per se, but he has that scrambling ability, which kind of gives, if you have poise and you have a good scrambling ability and you have a decent ability to read the defense, like, you can make things happen. And at least, and give you a fighting chance in a regular season game or something, you know, Whereas Sudfeld looked like the prototypical quarterback that everyone talks about, where if your starter goes down, the season is over. He looked every ounce that guy who's like, he's not a bad guy to have on your roster, because I'm sure he knows a lot and he's probably good within the quarterback's room, helps out and whatnot, good character guy. But like, it just, when it comes to performing on the field, he just does not seem to have it. And so I'd rather take a young kid who's got some legs and is, you know, going to scramble around and try to make something happen than a quarterback like that who's going to choke a bit and just give the games away.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to evaluate some of these guys, too, when a guy is not maybe playing up the par. Although Laporta dropped one, that might change the narrative a little bit on fourth down early in the game. And then Jameson Williams, I mean, he threw a perfect pass, too, and he dropped it, which is a big problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the next guy I want to talk about, too, is Jameson Williams. I wouldn't say he had a great game in this.
One more note, Z, before you move on there, is that I do think they're going to hold on to Sudfeld and let a battle form before they cut him. Like, I think they want Teddy to come in and beat him. Like, I think they're going to give him another chance in the preseason to show that, maybe that was a fluke. I'm just saying, I think they're going to give him a little more time to fight in this and see if he can prove that that was not the who he was. But as of right now, he looks like an obvious cut.
He's a goner. They know what Bridgewater is. Bridgewater is a known entity. Campbell.
It's just a matter of they keep the three quarterbacks around, because Hooker, they don't even want him to play this year, period. No. By all accounts. So
red shirt year.
The Lions are the ones that proposed and got this rule passed this year, where you can keep a third quarterback on your 53-man roster, but he doesn't have to be part of your active roster on game day, but he could be an emergency fill-in if both quarterbacks go down. So that third quarterback could still be valuable, but it's a matter of, do you keep a third quarterback on your active roster or not?
I was going to say, it still takes up a 53-man spot, and it's inactive. Oh, because you have to have so many inactive on game day anyway, right? Like,
correct. Yeah.
So 40, I guess that's
45-man roster, I believe, on game day.
So that is nice. That's one less position taken up by your third quarterback on game day anyway.
Right. You'd
still be activated.
Correct. Yeah. So let's go to my next guy. That's Jameson Williams. He didn't look great in this game. Now you could blame maybe Sudfeld for a lot of that. It definitely did miscommunication for sure. But were you expecting a little more out of Jameson here? The Lions said they got all they want out of him. They just want to get him reps and running routes. It is tough when you don't have the a good quarterback back there. You know,
yeah, I'd like to see him with Goff. Quarterback,
to agree, but I mean, you did see the drop, which is what we've heard a lot about.
Yes.
In the camp. So
it's a drop. I mean, like, yeah, it's not good. It's like a little mark against you, so to speak. But at the same time, he's still young. He's still got a long way to go before he's in the regular season games. Like, a drop is not going to...
You said that about Eric Ebron, too.
Hey, I'm not saying it can't grow into something worse, but, like, I'm not about to assume that with him. I mean, like, too many good receivers have had drops in different times and different plays. Like, I know Ja'Marr Chase didn't come into the league just catching everything at practice or in the preseason. Yeah, like, true. So, I mean, like, good, great player. Like, a guy like him, I fully expect to be ready for games and stuff. And he's gonna get some shit done. Maybe he'll have a drop here and there, but he's gonna make some big plays.
I'm just tired of the damn talk about James.
I know.
So let's just stop, man. Let's just stop.
All right, let's not talk about him.
I'm serious. It's nauseating almost. You know, every little thing he does, he's not immature. He's not, whatever. We know he's suspended for six games. I like the fact that Bridgewater's coming in and making him a personal project, if you will, that he's gonna, you know, work with him and make him into a better pro and all these things. I think Jane was a competitor, and I think once we get Dondo and he's playing consistently, I think we're gonna see it like we're not gonna be questioning it as much. Okay, that's what I think. But in the meantime, we have to just put up with all this talk, because it's all it is, talk, because we until he comes back and plays regular.
I mean, you know? Yeah, but at the same time,
it's just nauseating. I'm sorry.
I'm with you, Jay, but in this case, we're just talking about how he performed in the game, and he dropped a pass. Okay, yeah. Big deal. He also caught a really nice one in the back of the end zone. So I think, like you said, I think like the Lions said, they got what they wanted out of him. They're not worried. Neither should we be.
Yeah. Targeted 7 times, 2 catches for 18 yards.
I mean, yeah, nothing exciting, but it is what it is. He also wasn't getting thrown too back off, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we talked about Williams enough, but I just wanted to mention him. He was a faller for me, but.
Faller? Yeah, no, you can say he's a faller. He's not going anywhere. He's staying on this team. He's not on a bubble. He is. He's definitely in a beer. So.
I don't think he fair fell enough. At all.
Yeah.
The next guy I want to go over, I told you we bring him up later, is Will Harris, which some people still have making the roster because he can play that outside cornerback spot if needed. It wasn't a great game for him. A few penalties in this game, which is what we've seen in the past from him as well.
Cole Beasley twists him up pretty
tackle,
good.
Tackle, yeah. So... It's just, do you think Will Harris is in danger of missing this roster?
He's been since the day we drafted him, but he still seems to stick around. So it's hard to bet against the man. And, I mean, last year he made plays like that fumble he caused. I'm just saying, I don't know. He's a tough one to judge all the time. I don't think he's best when you man him up on a guy and leave him on an island. So maybe they put him in a position maybe that he's not best at to just test him, and he didn't respond great. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I personally think Campbell likes him, and he is versatile. He can play different positions. And, no, maybe he's not, you know, top of the pole there, but he's versatile, and he's a gritty guy. You know, you got to give him his due. And as much as we were crapped on him early in his career, this guy has staying power, and I think Campbell likes him. And I think he's kind of a valuable depth piece, so I think he does make the roster, personally.
It wouldn't surprise me if he got cut, though. We have so much talent floating around right now back there.
But like we said in the past, he must be a great practice player to stick around on this roster for this long.
I don't know.
The way
know.
He's played in some of these games. But he did take a step up last year, and he is a good enough depth piece at the very least, where he can fill in an emergency. But you know, he's not a starter by any means.
No.
So, I could always see him making a roster, but then getting cut because someone else got cut on another team and they pick him up and cut him later. So that's still a possibility. Just because you make 53-man roster doesn't mean you're safe.
True.
A week after he'd make the roster. Because then all their teams know, like I mentioned with James Houston, Lions might decide, okay, tell people around the league we're gonna cut this guy unless one of you wants to make a deal and get the rights to him. I don't know if Will Harris falls in quite that same category, but the last faller I had was a man named Matt Nelson. He's kind of been that swing tackle for the Lions, that six offensive lineman. They've used him a lot in the past two seasons. But by all accounts, does not look great in the camp. Looked just mediocre at best in this game against the Giants. So, I mean, Matt Nelson, do you think he makes a roster? And also, just what do we think about this second offensive line in general that the Lions have? Because apparently nobody's really sticking out in the competition, kind of owning, like solidifying their spot on the roster.
As strong as that position is for us, I by position, I mean the O-line. Our starters are really great. But our depth is slightly questionable. I mean, we got Glasgow, which is – I'm so glad we picked him up.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
I think – and I'm so glad we drafted Sorsdahl because he, by all accounts, is playing very well. But after that, boy, it's rough. I mean, no one's really stood up, and Campbell made a point to. He's waiting for people to come out and stand out from the crowd, and no one has done that yet. No one has risen to that challenge, and that worries me slightly, just from a depth perspective. But as far as Nelson personally, I do think he's going to make the team only because of his past experience with the team, and he is very valuable when they put the six linemen out there, which they've done a lot in the past, and I could see him in that role again. But as filling in as a tackle, starting tackle, that's rough. So
yeah. right now I have this eight offensive line making a roster. It's Decker, Jackson, Ragnow, Big V, Penei Sewell, just making a roster. Sewell, just making a roster.
Just barely.
Glasgow, Sorsdahl, and then Herman Ilfadi. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, close.
And I have Nelson getting cut from this team, including and also Obina Easy, and then there's a bunch of other names that are a lot of people aren't familiar with, but I don't think I need to go over. But Man Nelson would be the close cut here. You could see him maybe sticking at the end of the roster.
Yeah.
But, well, so if they keep eight, yeah. Is that what they kept last year? Was that
you got to keep at least eight
last year? I believe so. I believe
because that doesn't give you a lot of room for depth if there's an injury.
No,
but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah,
go Red Dog.
Yeah, I the performance of the second team offensive line was pretty abysmal. I thought for the most part they settled down the stretch. But I mean Matt Nelson, I don't know. I have a hard time sensing. I heard some good things about Abini Ezzi. He's young, got some upside, but I don't know if they're ready to start trusting him as a backup or anything. But yeah, I could see him getting cut. Like I think our depth is still going to be good. Most of the guys that made our line suck against like the Giants aren't going to be there on the roster. Like you said, there's only going to be eight guys. So I think our depth in the season is going to be just fine. I'm not worried about our depth overall. Cause like you're talking about plugging one of these guys in with, you know, four other dudes who are top notch. So they're not going to, God willing, you're not going to be replacing everybody. Even if you do have an injury, like, you're going to, you know, replace one or two here or there, and they're going to be surrounded by top-notch veterans. So, you know, I think and we got some good backup guys for that role. So, tackle I feel less confident about than guards. Our guard interior backups, top-notch. I feel like with Glasgow and Sorsdahl, it's tackle I'm a little more concerned about in our depth. I don't see anyone obvious there.
Yeah.
And that's where Skipper might have the edge still. Which I don't know about your guy. Well, who's Omar Effetti? I don't know a lot about him.
Ermain.
Why do you think he's going to make it?
Ermain.
You think he's going to beat Skip out at the last tackle?
I do. I just don't think they've seen enough on Amanda Nelson. Ermain Ilfadi, just a younger guy. He's also had starting experience with the Seahawks. I'm also going by beat writers and their predictions on who makes the roster, and they've all predicted this guy makes over Nelson. So
that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, just a swing tackle that's like looked halfway decent in camp. I can't say he's a strong player by any means because he's floated around to a lot of different teams in the NFL. So
yeah, our tackle depth is not overly impressive, but our interior depth is not.
Yes, agreed. Well, Glasgow's a huge part of that.
Oh, absolutely. But Sorsdahl too, if you ask me. Like someone with his pedigree, I think you'd expect him to develop pretty fast. Like all of our other mid-round guards we've picked.
But they seem to be really happy with his performance too. I mean, it's not just that he,
right,
potential. They seem to be happy the way he's playing too. So.
I still would love if he somehow won the starting spot. I don't think he will. We got too good of veterans. But
no, he won't.
I expect him to be a starting guard on this team in the next year or two.
Yeah. I'd agree. Well, we're approaching the hour mark here, so I just want to wrap this up by talking a little bit about next week's game. The Lions they have joint practices with the Jaguars this week. I love these joint practices. It's awesome. I'm glad they're doing two of them with two different teams. Really get to measure. This is a playoff team from last year, so it's a good. Now, most of the starters won't play in the actual game, but the joint practices, that's where you get the real work done. And the Jaguars have an ascending quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. Trayvon Walker and Hutch, going at it, trying to one up each other in the joint practice. I look forward to hearing about that this week. And it's just another good test. And this game actually got moved to NFL Network, for a national audience to see on at noon, Central, 1 o'clock Eastern on Saturday. And it's going to be another packed Ford Field, so it should be fun to watch.
I bet that
football is still fun to watch, regardless if it's preseason or not.
I agree.
It's just a great.
Well, I bet our turnout is a big reason why you get that flex. Like, you want to show the game where there's enthusiasm and it looks like people are enjoying themselves, not like in a mausoleum, in like an empty stadium, and you got like echoes.
Yeah, I agree. Just the family, like making the crowd noise. The family.
Yeah, right. The one family that showed up because they're just diehards.
Yeah. But did you guys have anything else to add before we wrap this up? No. All right. I'm gonna take that as a no.
I thought but then I forgot.
Nope.
And oddly, this topic has kind of gone under the radar of most coverage. But our backup running backs, like, I haven't seen them in any highlights or anything, but, like,
yeah.
I've heard good things about Benny Snell.
I don't think he makes a roster.
I don't know. I'm just saying that it's an intriguing back end of the roster there as well. Who's our, especially with Justin Jackson retiring unexpectedly. Like,
it does open it up.
I thought he was looking real good for that third running back.
I
don't know. Who's in the lead for it then?
Reynolds. Well, you got Montgomery, Gibbs, obviously, Kabinda, fullback, running back, Craig Reynolds, and the fifth one is the question. Jamar Jefferson, who's shown flashes in the past. Ibrahim is a guy that I really like personally.
I like Snell too,
but and Azigbo, Divine Azigbo, is the last running back that we have in the roster. But
that sounds wide open.
I did not like what I saw out of Snell from his time in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh didn't have a great off climb, albeit, but I thought Snell looked slow, unexplosive. I don't think he makes this roster.
You sound like Donald Trump. That kid is slow. He's so slow. Slowest kid I've ever seen. Believe me, everybody says he's so slow.
Yep. I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah, that's right. But like, I'm just saying that's, I don't see who the favorite is. Maybe it's Mo Ibrahim, but now he's banged up. Jamar, I've heard not spectacular things about him. Like, he seems to have not really separated himself much. Like, I just don't know. I'm curious to see who that third running back will be. I thought Justin Jackson was winning the job after seeing that great route and stuff, and then he retired. So yeah, that to me, that's just blew that
open. Are we gonna make a prediction on the next game here?
Oh yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I forgot to do that. Sorry, UJ.
Yeah, we should do that.
Let's do it really quick. Let's do our ever famous predictions. Ooh. Lions are actually 4-point underdogs again. They're 3-point underdogs against the Giants. 4-point underdogs this week. At home against the Jaguars. UJ, we'll start with you. What are you predicting the Lions to lose by?
All right, I'm predicting it's going to be a little more high scoring this time, and I'm going to say the Lions are going to lose 31-24.
Cool.
It'll be an exciting game.
Wow.
But, you know,
Sudfeld goes for 4 touchdown passes.
They're going to go, they're going to be happy with what they see. And some of the defensive guys are going to pull them, let all the second and third stringers play. And Jags will score a few. The Jaguars, not the Jaguars, but they're going to score some points. And we're just going to lose 31-24. It'll be exciting. We'll see some good action.
So that's a good loss to you. The defense giving up 31 points.
You know, I just want to see him lose. I'm sorry. You know how I feel about it.
Disgusting.
I just got to lose the one game. And then if they lose this one, then I can root for him to win the next one. You know.
I find your entire sentiment disturbing.
UJ wants to build a losing culture before the season starts.
I see
UJ. Rud Dog, your prediction.
Okay. It is going to be a high-scoring game, but only one side. We're going to score 41 points, and they're going to score 0. Both units, or all 3 units, are going to dominate. We're going to get another kick return touchdown. It's going to be great. It's just going to give us a fun, exciting highlight reel to watch until we get the real thing.
I love
let
it.
Everyone will be a riser in the next game. No,
yes.
No fallers.
Cuts are going to be so hard because everyone looks so good on this team.
I'm going to go 23-20. No reason for it other than the Lions. Lions win, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. I don't root for my team to lose, UJ.
Yeah, it's weird. Only weirdos do that.
Man. You don't. You know. You can't mess with the gods. You know, the football gods. You have to appease the football gods. And I'm sorry. That's all I'm doing right here is.
Are you
trying to appease the football gods?
DJ, you make no sense. Sorry. I know your only logic is that the Lions.
There's people out there that know exactly what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Know exactly what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I just disagree.
Yeah.
Well, you're young and stupid.
We're going to wrap this up. There's always a good time. That is it. We want to thank everybody for listening. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter /X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on preseason game.
X it out, two. Baby.
Yeah. Do you think Musk and Zuckerberg going to fight in a cage match?
Oh, that'll be an awesome fight. I'd love to.
I hope so.
There's been a lot of
I think Musk will win, and not even a punch will be thrown. He'll beat him with his mind. It'll be awesome.
I think they'll just stare awkwardly at each other.
Oh my!
It'll be amazing. Zuckerberg will just fall down.
They're supposed to fight in the Colosseum in Rome.
Oh my God!
That really shows you what wealth and power can do for you. You can set up a fight on a whim in the Colosseum.
They're both going to use like drones to control into the fight and fight for them.
Thanks to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Thank you to our producer,
Kid J.
We always thank producer Kid J for producing the podcast, doing a great job as always. And this is also episode 250, by the way. So congratulations, guys. Another milestone. I probably should mention that at the top, but we've just done so many of these.
250.
I remember. Wow. 250. And each of these episodes lasts about an hour, sometimes 2 hours. So you think we've spent 250 hours plus on here. That doesn't include pre and post.
Yeah, we're really like the Tom Brady of Lions podcast. You know, we just keep going, man. There's so many pods out there now, all these newcomers because the Lions are suddenly exciting. Well, we've been there, man. We've been there through the bad. And we're still here, man.
If you do a month, if you do the math, though, that's like a month of our lives dedicated to this podcast.
Ooh. Yeah. And what's funny is how much more we still talk about Lions outside of this podcast.
Yep. If you ask my wife or my father, they'll be like, wow, that is a month of your life just completely wasted. And
your father's the best guy to talk to about the Lions. He's the best.
Yeah.
Bear fan Dan, we had him on here. We might have him on in the Lions den again later this year, talking about
always interesting.
All right.
Anyways, we'll wrap this up. But thank you everybody for listening. Really appreciate it. We'll be reacting to preseason game 2. An update on our thoughts about the roster. Maybe we'll do rises and fallers again if you like that. We'll keep thinking of things. But we have a lot more exciting stuff for this upcoming Super Bowl season. Thank you for listening. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions! Woo!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Lions!
We did it! All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.